This is Robin Don Ryan, and you're listening to the Studio Success Formula Podcast.
Welcome to the Studio Success Formula Podcast, the business school for dance studio owners. And now for your host, Clint Salter.
Hey there, studio owners. It's Clint Salter from Studio Success Formula, and thank you for joining us. Our guest today started her dance studio 40 years ago, and over the years, she's gone through the many ups and downs that studio owners face. I met her at the Dance Teachers Summit in New York City in August, and I knew that I had to get her on the show to share with you her many years of experience. So please welcome to the show, Robin Dawn Ryan. Hi, Robin. Great to have you on the show.
Hi, Clint. Great to be here.
Now, you've been running your studio now for 40 years. Congratulations. That's a huge achievement in itself. What do you believe have been the keys to your success over the years?
Hard work, I would say, and to never give up, but being true to myself and not sweating the small stuff. And then staying current with the dance world, going to conventions, taking classes, keeping up with the changes in dance to keep my students in, you know, current with dancing.
Yeah, sure. Now, what does hard work mean to you? Because I think hard work has a different definition to every studio owner. I mean, how do you do hard work?
I think hard work is doing more than 100%. When you own a dance studio, you give up a lot of things. You make sacrifices with your family and your children because you go above and beyond to be there for your students, for your studio families, to do research, to make sure that you're reaching out to all the people in the community. And that just takes a lot of work. You can't just go in, teach your classes, and leave. You have to put in extra time, and you have to develop relationships with your clients and with your students so that they know that you're there for them. Because a lot of them you raise from the time they're babies all the way through graduation. So they become a part of your family as well. So the hard work is putting in that extra time and sacrificing a lot of your own family and personal life.
And how have you been able, though, to make sure that the family side of things doesn't fall apart?
Well, that's been very, very hard. In fact, as an ambassador at the summit, that was one of my conferences that I gave, was to put family first, because over the years I have found that you need to put family first, and it is very, very hard to juggle. I do know this, though, that the one thing you have to do as a dance teacher who is a parent is, if you have something with your child that you need to attend, that's what you should do first. I have 6 children, and over the years, I've had to make sacrifices on both sides. The parents usually will figure it out, and they'll be okay with it. It's your family that's not okay with it, and that you have to work. So I found that trying to do as much with them as possible, especially younger, when I had the days free to go to their schools and stuff, really helped.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you talked about how being current and you know, cutting edge is really important as well. I mean, how has that affected and shaped your studio by taking your students to conventions and really, I guess, exposing them to what's happening right now in the industry? How has that helped you grow and maintain your studio?
Well, I think you cannot pretend that you are the only studio around, or that, you know, everybody has their good students. I think they need to see the big fish in the big pond, and not, you know that they are just, you know, strong where they're at. I expose my kids by especially taking them to New York to see shows, to find out where the end is. You know, they do all this work, and then they're like, well, where does this lead? And that's what I want them to learn, is that there is an end to all this hard work. There is going to be a reward, that you are going to get a chance to dance in a show like this, or you are going to get to be able to maybe be a teacher at a convention, or you're going to get to be a rockette. I've had rockettes. You need to open the world to them so they can see that what they're doing has an end result. And then it helps them grow, and then they meet kids. I have kids that room with kids that they competed against, and once they get out of school, they move on.
Yeah, and how important do you think it is? I mean, you know, I talk to lots of studio owners, and we talk about, you know, journaling and setting goals and really working on the personal development side of the students as well. I mean, how much of a crucial part does that play in, I guess, helping the students get to, you know, be employed, you know, get jobs in shows, you know, take advantage of those great opportunities?
It's the people that you meet at and conventions. And the old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I think that's really true. I think that's definitely something that's really important to the kids, is to me. And that was the one thing, growing up, I'm originally from Indiana before I moved to Florida. I wanted to make sure that when I opened my studio, that if they wanted to dance professionally or they wanted a job, I wanted to be that teacher that networked, that knew how to get them in the right place and meet the right people and make the right choices and know how to do a resume and know what it took to get them a job. I made that my goal so that anyone could achieve their dream to be a dancer. And networking is major. You have to network as a teacher. And the way you do that, I judge, I travel, I meet other teachers, I get to know other people. And it's kind of, in our business, it's really cool because you can meet someone and then they know something about something else that you have a kid that was interested in that, and then you make a phone call. It all pays off. But networking is really important. Being a teacher and just staying in your own little world and not going out and exploring does not help yourself or help your studio or your students.
I 100% agree. And I think I was talking to another studio owner earlier this week about having the abundance mindset. You know, I think a lot of studio owners don't go out, don't network, don't talk to other teachers because they may be fearful of, well, if they expose their students to other people, their students are going to run off, or, you know, people are going to know the ins and outs of their businesses and try and do what they're doing. I mean, what are your thoughts around that?
You know what? We are a business. We are a facility that teaches dancing. We don't get to keep the kids. They don't belong to us. They come to learn from us. And a lot of times we put our heart and soul into a child that'll turn around and leave, and it breaks your heart, they go on. You have to be that teacher that knows that you can maintain and keep that student and that dancer through their high school years, and that you can give them what they need. If you keep them in a box, they're not dumb. They're going to eventually figure out that so-and-so from another studio got to go do something else. You have to keep those doors available and open and let them go out. And you have to trust yourself as a teacher to know that you're a good teacher and not have the insecurities to think that you can't do this, to hold them. That's not what we're here for. We're here to open those doors. And if they do go on, then you have to learn how to deal with it. And then maybe find out, well, why did they go there? What am I not offering that wanted them to stay here? You can't get mad at the student. It does hurt. It's, you know, it's happened to me, happens to everyone. I get students from other studios. That's the business. But after 40 years, they go on. Half of those kids that want to be all that, they don't make it. It's a very few that make it. That's a handful that go out and keep going with what you've trained them to do. And a lot of these parents that get out of control and I need her in the front row and stuff, I have those parents that are grandparents at my studio now. Their children didn't do anything, but their grandchildren now are on my competition team because their kids had such a great time here. They want their children to have that same experience, which says so much about what I gave them. Even though at the time their parents were crazy, they still were having a good time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what it comes down to, right? Like they're paying for essentially a service. And I think we're really here as a teacher, as a studio owner, to, you know, let them have a lot of fun, learn, be inspired and motivated. I think, you know, dance, I wouldn't be where I am today, really, even with my business, if I, you know, wasn't in dance and didn't have a great, nurturing, really supportive teacher. I think it provides people with a lot more than just learning how to dance. I think a lot of life skills come out of, you know, being part of a dance studio as well.
And I know in my heart, I'm a really good teacher. And I have a lot of successful kids. And I just keep going that way. And I do have, I have more dance studios in my area that I can count on my hands. And half of them are owned by parents who open studios, which, you know, has gotten very popular lately. I just maintain what I do. I do it well and I move forward. And I have to not get involved with anything else. I just do my job for the people that come here with me. And I keep moving my kids forward.
I love it. I love it. Great advice. Thanks so much, Robin. Now, as a studio owner, there are many times when, you know, everything is great, but then within one moment, it can take a fast downward spiral. How do you manage the challenging situations that come up in your business as a business owner?
Well, I think sometimes you got to find out what the problem is, whatever it is, and face it head on and figure out how to fix it. You got to be willing to make changes. What you might have decided to do 1 year as what you wanted to do didn't work out. You can't be the person that goes, oh, I don't want to change it because everyone will think I'm dumb or something. You have to change it. You have to fix what is ever the problem that is causing you, that caused you to have that problem. We went through a recession really broke us down here a little bit for a couple years. And we had to come up with a little other ways to get students involved. I needed more kids, younger kids on my team. So, and I got this from going to the summit, learning from other people. I gave a 30-minute free class to anyone who might be interested in competing the next year. I had 30 kids show up for that class. And I did it from January till June. And they learned a little dance. They got to do it during dress rehearsal. It wasn't for the show, but they just got to do it for dress rehearsal. And the next year, I had 20 of them return to actually compete with my kids. And they were my 5 and 6-year-olds.
Yeah, fantastic. That's a great idea.
And that was a problem I had. So I had to figure out, how do I make this better? How do I fix it? And you know what? I think you get hit with stuff like that all the time. There's always some part of your business that's not going the way you want it to go. So when you get one thing fixed, you got to turn around and fix the next.
Exactly. But I guess what you're saying, it's really the way that you look at that problem. I mean, you look at it and go, okay, identify the problem. What's the solution? What steps can I take towards making this situation better, rather than looking at it and kind of having a pity party?
Right. You know, you can't. It all comes back to you. It all comes back to the person, whoever the studio owner is, it comes back to them. And you can't be that person that says, well, I'm not going to do it that way. We're going to do it my way. If your way's not working, you got to change it. You got to be willing to make the changes and to make the people happy. And it's a lot of politics and the way you got to go about doing it. Over 40 years, I've come pretty good at it. And there's sometimes I get hit with stuff and I just want to walk out the door, and I'm like, I don't want to look back, because it just gets so aggravating that even after all this time, it's still the same problems that was day one with my studio. It's just different people. You just get a little bit better at handling it, I think. But turning your back on it and not trying to fix it is not going to be the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, many studio owners focus on generating income from just their classes, but I know that you've got multiple revenue streams in your studio. What suggestions do you have for studio owners listening who want to look for profit elsewhere but don't know where to start?
Well, working in your daycares is huge. I have a teacher at my studio who works outside at several daycares, and she's doing great. And when they get old enough, they'll come to me, because that's where she'll recommend them. I have another teacher that works for the city that teaches their 2-year-old classes, and she has like 30 kids in these classes. And as soon as they get old enough, they come here. So she does that. You can work at your high school. For dance teams, there's a lot of dance teams that are with the band, or in your performing arts area, you can go in. Just this morning, I was working at a middle school. They need a dance routine it's called All County Dance Here. And I'm not getting paid for it, but I'm going in to share my talents. Plus, I'm working with other kids who don't dance here. I also do a lot of theater work, and I choreograph and do a lot of theater, get paid for that. Youth groups, I judge all over the country, and I do a lot of master classes. I travel and teach master classes as well.
And so do you think that as a strategy has worked quite well for bringing new students in the door?
I think working at a high school or any school system, any way you can. Oh, and parades. I used to do parades like crazy. When I first opened, I had my name out everywhere, and I do community shows everywhere. I still do community. We just danced on cement 2 weeks ago for a show, and my kids were just like, we're on cement. And I'm like, yeah, you are. It's okay. So I still do every community show. I never turn shows down. I am to this day, I still stay in the public eye as much as possible, and I work with the school systems as much as possible too.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, because you always talk about being top of mind. You know, within your community, if someone's looking for a dance studio, or maybe they're unhappy at their existing studio and want someone else, you want to be the studio that they're going to come to first.
Yeah, and the shows are great, because usually you go to those festivals, they have one dance studio after another. So hopefully, if you're in the right placement, they will they have to be around to wait to go on with their studio, so meanwhile they get to watch your studio. So stuff like that works. And again, working in the high schools and with the dance team, that's a real big deal. I have a ton of high school kids at my studio because I have been working with the high schools since I've moved here. I went directly to the high schools and start working with marching bands, and then I worked with the theater and stuff like that.
Yeah, and again, I think it all comes down to what you talked about before, building relationships.
Right, and you get hooked in with people. They want you to come in, and it's great.
It's awesome. Now, I want to shift and talk about teachers, because over 40 years, I'm sure you've seen lots of teachers come and go from your studio. What are your keys to recruiting and retaining great teachers in your studio?
Recruiting teachers is kind of tough. You can advertise in whatever, you know, Craigslist or whatever it takes to get them in. I've been in business for so long now. A lot of it's been word of mouth, or I know a teacher who's in town and you get a hold of them. I've been through lots of teachers. One of my teachers that works for me started dancing here when she was three. She's been with me probably 35 years. She's been a lot of your teach. Now, my teachers are my students that I train that work, but a lot of them aren't. And the other way is my teachers come first. I pay them very well. I respect their creativity. I don't try to interfere with the way they teach. I have teacher meetings. I try to have, like at Christmas, the teachers come over to my house. I try to make us more like a family. I let them pick out their music. They pick out their costumes. They get paid for rehearsals. They get paid for choreography. I don't take that money. They do privates. I don't dip into any of their extra activities as far as money go, and I promote them in the community to work other places like I do. If somebody needs a teacher somewhere, I hook up one of my teachers to go out. I do as much as I can, and I support them.
And do you think that that's been a really important part of retaining teachers and getting them to be, you know, at their best when they're in class teaching your students?
Yes, you know, because a lot of dance teachers, when they come to you, or students or people who come, one of my new teachers, she's been with me going, I think we're 3 years now, young teacher that moved down, and her sister had just moved down and danced with me. Then she decided to move down. She had been a dance teacher, and she's very young. And, you know, her thing was, oh, I always wanted to own a dance studio. And that kind of scares a teacher when they hear someone say that. I try to tell them that owning the dance studio might not be the best thing, because once you own the studio, your responsibilities become big and sometimes pull you out of the classroom. But if my teachers can go in and do what they love and be creative and teach and walk out every other week, they get paid with a good paycheck and get paid on time. Nobody likes to say, oh, I'll get paid next week. My teachers are paid every 2 weeks on time. They never have to worry about not getting their money. That's really important too. They have to feel comfortable and secure in their job and love what they're doing. And you have to get them to be loyal to you, where they're thinking, oh, I would never open up against Miss Robin. I can't do that. She's been too good to me. You have to get the loyalty of your teachers so that they stand by you. And I've had teachers that work for me that want to open studios, and I helped them. I helped them open it very far away. To find a place and everything else, and it's worked out. But I think you have to get your teachers to be loyal to you, just like your students are. But that comes from taking care of them and respecting them as well. And I have had my share of having to fire teachers.
I'm sure you have, over 40 years.
It's not fun to do that. But when you see something that's not working in your studio, then you got to let them go. And I will say, after all these years, I just started having my teachers. And because I went to the summit signing contracts, I started 3 years ago. And all these years, I've never had them sign. But because our times are getting a little crazy with the dance, I did have them sign contracts with no compete clauses. And I kind of felt bad about it in a way. But you know what? Not one person gave me a hard time about signing it. None of them. And I had some that teach at other studios, and we just put that in there that I knew they were teaching there and that was okay.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a give and take.
Yeah, great advice there around teachers. Now, communication, I believe, is one of the most important aspects of running a successful studio. How do you ensure that all your parents, students, and teachers know what's happening in the studio without them being too involved and feeling like they run the show?
Well, first off, none of my parents will ever run the show. they want to. And when that happens, I shut them down pretty fast, because that is where you end up with the most problems. You have to learn how to be diplomatic. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to, you know, get in their face or anything. You just, you know, say, no, this is my policy, or this is the way I do it. But my parents know things. We have emails. We make phone calls. I have the bulletin board. When I have students that are absent for 2 weeks in a row, I have my staff call them and find out, you know, if they're okay or what their needs are, or why they haven't been here. I'm very fortunate. I have a great studio manager. So everything basically goes through her. I don't want my class time interrupted. I don't want to have to take care of problems. If someone has to talk to me, they have to make an appointment to talk to me, and then I handle it with that parent one-on-one. I won't talk to them on the phone, because I want to look at them in the face and talk to them. So usually once they've gone through my studio manager, they very seldom come to me. Most of them don't want to come to me, so that's kind of good.
Yeah, but, that's great.
Again, it's that trust thing too. You have to make them feel good. If their kids are happy, then they're going to be happy. And if there's an issue, you got to take care of it right away and not avoid it. And sometimes I've wanted to avoid many issues with parents. But the other thing I have learned is when I have a meeting with a parent, I kind of know what it's about. And I give myself cards to write on, to write how their child has been in class and what, you know, I give myself a little history. And then I write down things so that I know what I need to say as well. Be prepared. Be prepared when you're handling those students. But definitely when you're dealing with parents and their children, it's a lot of work. In fact, it's better just to teach orphans half the time, because then you never have that problem. Because the parents are more of a problem than anything. The kids are usually very happy. The parents tend to, get a little bit more dramatic and, you know. And with our social media, it certainly doesn't help.
I was going to ask you, how do you manage social media? Do you have a private group or a group for your studio?
We have a couple private groups on there and stuff. And when we first, that Facebook whole thing first came out, I had a couple of my older kids would put stupid things on there. I friend a lot of those kids because I keep an eye on everything they put on there. I want to know everything they're doing, because I will be the first one to let them know that they have to take something off or something wasn't appropriate. Even if it's nothing to do with dance, if it's with their other friends, I tell them that they are representing me in the studio and that they have to be careful with what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I keep an eye on the parents as well, because the parents can say some really rough things at times as well.
Yeah, that's good. So you're the watching eagle. You've always got your eye over everything.
Yeah, I keep an eye on those kids, and I keep an eye on that. But you know what? They've become pretty good about it, because I laid down the law so long about it and gave them pretty much a good lecture about what I expected and stuff. And the same thing with the parents. They know not to do that. And I'm very good on Facebook. I go on it very little, and I'm a positive person on it, because the negativity doesn't need to be there. Even if you feel like you want to say something, my mother always said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all. And that's what I teach the kids. I teach the kids just, you know, to be quiet, just to smile a lot.
Yes, we love that. We love that. Now, you talked about your studio manager. I'd love to know what you think are the key qualities for a studio manager that you want to put in your studio. We've got a lot of listeners who would love to have that awesome person in their studio, but are finding it challenging to get someone in. I mean, what do you look for in a studio manager?
Well, someone that's very good with people, but someone who loves your studio and you as much as you do. My studio manager, she's like my bulldog. No one can cross me. She'll be the first one to stand up and back someone off of me if she has to. She protects the studio. She looks after me. She loves the kids. She knows what to say. And she manages, like, I have a couple of my parents who've been here a long time who work the front. The front desk is only for people coming in and information. Then we have a back office, and that's where my studio manager and I have one other person in my office that helps out, because there's so much paperwork and there's so much to put into the computers. And yes, I put the money out to pay for these people, because my studio has to run like a machine. When you have over 300 students or more, you have to be very organized And then I have a competition team, so that has to be organized. And then I have other jobs that I do or other things that I have my students do. So we're very busy all the time. You have to have someone that you can trust because they are handling your money. They are handling your bills. And my studio manager, she is on me. Like, she will say, you cannot spend, you cannot take, you cannot. Every so often she'll say, okay, you can. But she, her main concern is she looks out for what's the best for the studio. And that's what you have to have. And I'm very lucky. My one studio manager that took over my studio, oh my gosh, my studio was falling apart. Yeah, I don't remember what year I was in. Probably my 10th year. It was terrible. And she just said, if you promise that you'll do everything I tell you and never question me, I can get your studio up the ground. I said, okay. She ran my studio for 16 years, got me going, drove a car that never broke down after that, finally got to decent transportation. And when she was getting ready, my studio manager I have now was working in the office with her, and she said, this is who you need to have. You need this person. And she was right. And I have a great relationship with her. And, you know, it's hard because she had a student, she had a daughter in here dancing. And that's a little tough sometimes because, you know, people are always like, oh, you do everything with her because, you know, she was very fortunate as her daughter is incredibly talented. And she's off to college now, so that's good too. So that's kind of taken that off. But I've been really lucky. You just have to be really, really careful because there's been some people who have had, and I did have a couple bad experiences with a couple people running my business that didn't, I think, was not looking out for my welfare at 100%.
And that's really important. That you get someone in that, I love what you said, that, you know, is as passionate about the studio as you are and is switched on to 100% turn around and say, you can't spend that this month, you're over budget, or we don't have that money in the budget for you to do that.
That's definitely how it works. One week she said, I can't pay you this week. You're not getting any money because your parents are so far behind, you're not getting paid. I went, but my teachers got paid. But I didn't get paid that week. And it's usually around Christmas time because, you know, nobody thinks that dance teacher is a business. They think we do this for fun. They don't think they have to pay the teachers. So they kind of put us, they can wait till next month type mentality, which is a little tough. But, you know, my parents are, we've been doing pretty good this year. So
good to hear it. That's great. Now, Robin, when it comes to marketing, I know we've spoken about, you know, you get a lot of, you know, teachers out there in the community. You get out in the community as well, so you remain top of mind. But what if, you know, maybe if you could give us some things that have worked for you and haven't worked in terms of getting students through the door?
You got to be careful with advertising because it's so expensive. A lot of times it's good to do the advertising with a coupon for like $10 off because you can see how many people bring it in. They have a big kids festival in our area, and they would charge us like $700 to set up the booth, and then you got to dance on the stage for 30 minutes or whatever. We found out we gave out free classes. We gave out everything. Nobody ever took advantage of any of that. We were spending all that money. So we decided this year not to do it. They only gave us 20 minutes on the stage, but I didn't lose $700. And the kids still got to be out. But shows, again, best ever, word of mouth. Word of mouth, having a good reputation. Somebody say, where do you go dance? Oh, I dance with Robin Dawn. Oh, we've heard that's one of the best studios around. Yeah, you don't want someone to go, oh, don't go there. So word of mouth and reputation. I advertise a lot in the back to school. So as soon as you know school's coming up, back to school is really important. And then they have like a parent and child magazine that I advertise in that. But as far as TV or anything like that goes, it's so expensive to do. And it's still word of mouth. It's friends, bringing friends. We do bring a friend to dance month. We do it for the whole month. And different things like that. So that works. We did, however, get an opportunity that was a little expensive. But So You Think You Can Dance is coming to our area, which is such a big deal for so many of the dance fans. And we got asked to do a 30-second slot three times throughout their performance before it opens on a huge screen that covers the whole stage to advertise. I am doing that. And it is expensive, but I have a captive audience. They're all dancers.
Exactly. Your market, are there.
So you have to think where your marketing is going to do the most good. You don't want to put it on the baseball thing in the, because that's not going to do any good. The other thing is doing a lot of work with charities and giving your time. And maybe that's where, if somebody was doing something for a benefit for a charity, where you might want to say, okay, I'll sponsor that. The only other place you might sponsor is sometimes with the high schools. I have so many kids from different schools. I'm very careful not to do that, as I would have to go to all of them, and that would add up a lot too. And it really doesn't do that much for you as far as getting kids in.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, look, you always have to have a return on that investment. So being able to track your any type of marketing activity is really crucial and important.
And it is crucial. You have to track. You have to know what works and what doesn't work. But you can go in debt advertising. Get those kids in those parades. Carry that sign. Oh, T-shirts. T-shirts with your name, your business name on them. Every kid in your studio, have those for sale. Have the name. Have whatever with the phone number on the back. Because kids love to wear T-shirts. Make them cute, fun, so that they'll wear those everywhere. And that's great advertising. And we have bumper stickers, too, for the parents that go. The ones that don't stick anymore, says, my child dances at, or those have been a big thing, too, on our windshields. We did that, too. So that works.
Yeah, I love that idea. That's a great idea. Thank you. Now, as we wrap up the interview, Robin, I'd love to ask you, what are the final words of wisdom after running a studio for 40 years and still going strong would you like to leave our studio owners with?
Yeah, I wonder why I keep doing this after 40 years. And I have to say that I love children. I love sharing my passion of dance with those children. I love passing on the love for dance. Whether they ever dance professionally or not, I want them to always know how much fun they had as growing up in a studio, that they loved being in the studio, that as they get to be adults and have children, that they know that they want their children to have the same experience, that they are good audience members when they go see a performance, that they can appreciate it. To be happy when you teach, to walk into a classroom, smile, have fun with your kids. If you're having a bad day, I tell my people, don't come here. I only want happy, positive teachers when you walk in the room. We have our days and we're hard on our kids, but in the end all, they have to have fun and love what they're doing and to be true to yourself. Don't try to be the studio down the street. Don't try to be the choreographer you saw on TV. You have to be true to who you are, because that's who you are and that's why they come to you in the first place. Because of who you are. And when you try to be someone else, it's not going to work. You have to be yourself.
I love it. Look, Robin, it's been really great, very insightful speaking with you, and I was really glad we got to connect to the Dance Teachers Summit. If people want more information on you and your studio, whereabouts can they head?
My website, by the way, that's a good way to advertise, and my website needs major overhaul. It's so old, but it's www.robindawnacademy.com. Keep your website current.
Yes.
We're currently working on that, but they can get a hold of me at that site as well. As I am on Facebook, Robin Dawn Ryan. And I do the summit. I love doing the Dance Teacher Summit and being an ambassador, because I was only 18 when I opened my studio up. And I had no one to help me, no one to tell me what I needed to do. I made lots of mistakes. I learned everything the hard way. It was very tough. I wish there had been something like that I could have gone to learn. And if you're a young teacher, you need to listen to the older teachers and learn from there. And as an older teacher, I love learning from the younger teachers, because they have such great new inventive ideas as well. You can never close your mind and think that you know everything and you have all the answers, because dance is ever evolving and it's always changing, and your studio should be changing as well.
Exactly. Great advice. Always be hungry to learn, I think, no matter what stage of the journey you're at.
Right.
Thank you so much again. Such a pleasure to speak with you today. And take care, and we look forward to having you on the show again in another 40 years.
We'll see. Thank you very much, Clint.
Thanks, Robin. Take care. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Studio Success Formula podcast. To take your studio to the next level and beyond, head to studiosuccessformula.com.